welcome to Batflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. Today we'll be continuing our season previews, looking at the St. Louis Cardinals. And again, it's not Tom Pringle hosting, it's me, Ben Carter. You can find us on Twitter at @Batflips_Nerds. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds. As I mentioned, we're talking about St. Louis Cardinals today, and so I'm delighted to be joined by Richard. How are you doing, Richard?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. How are you?
I'm excellent, yeah, not bad. Let's get this started the normal way by asking, why the Cardinals?
It really boils down to having been an NFL fan for years. I went over to the States when I was a very young man, and with my father watched a Rams game back in the early 2000s when they were still considered the greatest show on turf. So I fell in love with the Rams, and then a couple of years later when I came to baseball, it seemed like a natural fit to go with the Cardinals. Two World Series later, four visits to the World Series and two wins later, I'm a diehard.
Yeah, I imagine over that time you've probably had a lot more success following the Cardinals than the Rams, actually. That might have worked out for the best for you.
Yeah, for sure. The Rams has been a torturous affair. And then left the city. So yeah, at this point, the Cardinals are all I've really got to hold on to.
Yeah, it's a bit upsetting them going to LA. But anyway, we'll try and stick to baseball for the time being. I think that route in via the NFL is quite popular with people. And I know for me, that was my way into American sports as well. So anything clear that was your way in?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Let's talk a little bit about last season to start off with. Record of 86-76, not too bad for everyone that doesn't know. But didn't make the playoffs, which had become a bit of a regularity for you guys. Was it a bit of a disappointment last year?
It was and it wasn't. I started the season with very low expectations and they were sort of met. I mean, winning 86 games for a lot of teams is a good season. For the Cardinals, it just isn't, or at least not while I've been a fan. And as such, it wasn't great. It is disappointing to not make the playoffs. But when you've got a team like the Cubs in your division, you knew the Cardinals fans that thought they had a chance of winning a division were deluded from day one. And you knew from mid-April that the Cardinals couldn't win a division because of the Cubs' early streak. So when the Cards were fighting for that wild card spot, it really it felt tortured at times watching them throw away games. And then that last weekend was a nightmare.
Yeah, well, because you ended up one game out, but I think you won your last few games. You made it look a bit close in it. It maybe was on at the time, but shame to miss out by that little.
Mm.
In terms of the division, as you mentioned, the Cubs, obviously, the standout team, not just in the division, but in the majors, really. Is there a case now for the Cardinals of thinking wild card for probably the next, three or four years?
I mean, I suppose you never know what's going to happen in baseball, but I mean, definitely this season, there's no chance we're going to. There's just no chance they win the division. I'm a bookmaker. I actually do trade baseball as part of my job. I compile baseball odds, and if you look at the Cardinals' division price this year, it really is suggestive that there's no chance they win it. And if you actually think about it, their true odds are even shorter than that. They just have really no chance. They're in a division in which the Cubs are going to be dominant, probably for a good while. They've got the setup there to be good for a long time. You've got the Brewers and Reds both having, or in the midst of what seems like a rebuild, and we're only a couple of years away from both of those being contenders in that division. And of course, the Pirates have now been quite steady for a couple of years, and it wouldn't surprise me to see the Cardinals on the back foot for a few years now, which is depressing.
Yeah, it seems like every year the Cardinals find a way to win and be competitive. And I guess last year was no exception, but now with the Cubs being so dominant, it might be a little bit tougher in years to come. I'm interested that you're a bookie, actually, because I think we had a bookie on talking about the Giants before. So I'm interested to see what analysis or what opinion that's given you on the Cardinals. Did you say you actually do the odds for baseball itself?
Yeah, so I along with a couple of colleagues at my company, compiled the baseball odds for the divisions and the pennants and obviously the World Series, as well as all the sort of season specials. In terms of the game stuff, that's run more out of our office in the United States. But in terms of like the what we call the outrights, like the divisions and stuff, we compile all of those. So if you see a bad price, you know it's my fault.
That's interesting, yeah, because I've seen, obviously, you know, odds put on games, over-unders and outrights, like you mentioned, and most of them, you know, are fairly standard. I'm assuming, like you said, they probably take them from their American partners, but some of them are a bit outrageous, especially with English bookies who maybe aren't too sure about their baseball. You find that other companies aren't quite so sure on their baseball and tend to put some fairly wild odds up on certain things.
No, nowadays it's all very streamlined out of Vegas. I mean, really, the lines are set in Vegas, and everywhere in the world just copies them. That's been the case for a while now. And when it comes to day-to-day betting, you really can't find an edge with UK bookmakers over Vegas. There's no way.
Okay, yeah. So no luck for us baseball fans trying to get the edge in over bookies then. Interesting. Anyway, sorry, we diverged a bit there, but that was good stuff. Looking at last year, there were a few bright spots, a few not so bright spots. One of the biggest bright spots was Aledmys Díaz, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right there, who kind of came out of nowhere to absolutely rake. Do you think that was, you know, for real, a real breakout? Are you expecting the same this year?
I'm not sure. His first half was fantastic. He shone and became a bit of a sensation early on. His second half, he completely fell off, which is worrying. He is going to be a guy who's going to be in this lineup permanently, and it's one of the card's sort of bright spots really in that lineup. So we are relying on him to be a good hitter. So I'm a bit wary that we may get the guy from the second half back. I don't imagine he'll hit. I mean, because he was really bad in the second half, which does go unnoticed in his overall stats, of course. I don't think we're going to get the guy of two extremes. I'll be happy with just the average of that throughout the season. A bit of consistency would be nice.
Yeah, like you mentioned, he got off to an absolute stormer, didn't he? He was hitting around 400 for a good month, which was a bit mental. But he fell off a bit in the second half. It looks like the contact rate's right there, and he's got a fair bit of power. So like you say, even if he doesn't get off to a start hitting 400 again, if he can at least give something close to last year, he'll be a pretty important part of that lineup. Yeah. And I guess looking elsewhere in that lineup, the main addition this offseason was Dexter Fowler. And I guess indirectly he replaced Matt Holliday, although it looks like Fowler will start to centre field and there'll be a bit of a rejig in the outfield. Did you like that acquisition?
I mean, yes, it's nice to get a player from the Cubs, if nothing else. I mean, it's petty, but after the Hayward thing of last year, it is for sure that is quite satisfying, which I don't care how that sounds, it just is. He's also a personality, which it's going to be interesting. He's certainly quite liberal, and the Cardinals can't really call themselves, well, wouldn't dare call themselves a liberal organisation. They are pretty conservative. So on that side of things, it will be really interesting to see how he fits in. I hope, for the love of God, that it's well, and he's definitely a guy that should be a positive addition as well. I mean, in terms of, all the off-field stuff is important, but when it comes to his baseball playing, he's a good player, and it's nice to have someone in the outfield that we know we can rely on.
Yeah, you mentioned the off-field stuff. I think you were alluding a little bit to that article that blew up a bit where he talked about Trump sort of indirectly and his family and the effect it would have. And of course, Cardinals fans get a bit of a bad rep with this whole best fans in baseball thing. And of course, the Facebook comments, as they are and everything, were awful, weren't they? Do you think that's an issue with every club? Do you think it's an issue with the Cardinals especially? Or is it a thing where Dexter Fowler is going to get that on every team? Or is it a case where his liberal views maybe clash more with the antiquated views of some Cardinals fans, shall I say?
I don't think he gets it everywhere, but the more conservative clubs, he just would. I mean, I don't know what it would be like if you're on the Yankees, but I can't imagine it would be miles different. And It's unfortunate, and the best fans in baseball, I don't know if you listen to Effectively Wild, but they discussed that a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, and it is of course something that now is more brought up by opposition fans than Cardinals fans, and even then, I hate the Cardinals fans that really consider themselves to be best fans in baseball. It's obviously ridiculous and gives the fan base a bad name, but it's just something to laugh over in the end, and if nothing else, it's provided a great name for the podcast, the best Cardinals podcast out there, best podcast in baseball.
Yeah, exactly. I think now it's become a bit of a parody of itself, hasn't it? Which is probably for the best because there's not a whole lot of basis in that stuff. Anyway, on to one up again and back to some nice surprises from last year. Jed Jorko, who I think I wouldn't have been alone in thinking was a bit of a washed-up player last year. Didn't really do much in San Diego. Bit of a former prospect, but not a lot else. He mashed for you guys. He led the National League in home runs after the All-Star break with 23, which has to be a promising sign. You're looking forward to seeing him rake this year?
Yeah, I am. I remember writing a piece. I used to, well, I helped found UK MLB, which was, well, it still is a baseball, it's more a baseball Twitter page in the UK NFL mold from a couple of years ago. We had a site for a couple of years, and I wrote a blog looking at a couple of prospects one year, and Jed Jerko was one of them. I was really high on him as a prospect. Not that I'm any sort of great prospect analyst, but yeah, it was a fun thing to write about, and he was a fun player to watch last year as a Cardinals fan. This is a team who were somewhat notorious for having no power. They were routinely in the bottom range of teams in the National League for in terms of hitting for power, especially in the last couple of years. And really, they exploded. Throughout the first half, they were leading the majors in home runs hit, which is incredible, really, when you consider that. I mean, the park isn't pitcher friendly per se. I don't know exactly where it ranks, but I say it's probably middling. But when you consider, obviously, Colorado and all these teams that have these hitter friendly ballparks, to be leading the majors in home runs was fantastic. Jerko was also quite key in helping the Cardinals set a major league record in pinch hit home runs. This is a guy who had a lot of he had a lot of game time, but not necessarily loads of starts. Obviously, injuries did help there, and he plays all around the diamond, which is also really useful. So yeah, I'm a fan of Jerko, and he's a guy that I like having on the team. I wouldn't like to see him starting 150 games a season, probably, but I do like him to have there. He's a useful guy to have on the team, mixing starts with pinch hit appearances.
Yeah, like you mentioned, probably won't be an everyday guy, even with that power. But as someone who's never played baseball at anything like a high level, I can't help but be extraordinarily impressed with anyone who can have the pinch hitting success he did to come off the bench and like you said, hit so many home runs. That's got to be a really nice thing as a fan to know you've got him lined up. And obviously, it's not going to be a sure thing, but as far as pinch hitting weapons go, he's got to be one of the best in the league now.
Yeah, for sure, especially given that obviously we started Brendan Moss a lot last year. He really came on, so we had Matt Adams on the bench. And Matt Adams, as a pinch hitter, you always think he's got the potential to go yard. And as Matt Adams does, disappoints and never quite gets there. I love Matt Adams, and I hope he improves this year, because otherwise he won't be long for this team. But yeah, it's nice to have some reliability there. It's nice for any team to have that. That's not something every team has. So yeah, Jerko's a good addition to its ball club.
Yeah, it's a crowded infield, like you mentioned. Even with Brandon Moss leaving, there's some serious players to fill in somewhere. There's some old guys out like Jerko, and maybe Colton Wong might get squeezed out too after his season last year. And in the outfield, as the Cardinals always seem to, they've produced two fantastic young players in Piscotty and Grichuk, who at times last year looked fantastic and at times didn't look so great. Are you expecting them to continue that curve this year, develop slightly?
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, Piscotty is a true product of the farm, and he's a guy that I love seeing play, and he definitely has the potential to be a bit of a leader of this lineup at times. He may not be the oldest player by any stretch, but he can be consistent. You look at certain guys, and obviously you've got Molina, who's like the father figure across the whole team. Of course, he's got such a great relationship with the pitchers and the Hispanic guys on the team, and just in general is such an important player on that team. But Piscotty can really step up this year, and I'm excited to see him do it. With Grichuk, obviously we got him in a trade about 2 or 3 years ago with the Angels, when we gave them Freeze, I think. And he has moments where I think, oh, he's so good, and he when he's on, he's on, but when he's off, he's really off. And I don't know if he can be the reliable guy we need. I hope so, but I'm definitely more excited to be watching Piscotty this year than Grichuk. And in terms, you mentioned Wong very quickly. He is likely to, for my money, be playing a lot this year. But he had a bad time of it in the middle of the last season. He actually ended up getting demoted to the minor league team in Springfield. Memphis even, and as did Matt Adams at a time. So yeah, this is a team that has a lot of potential, but also. But it works both ways. If they all gel together, there is no argument to say that this team could win the World Series. But the likelihood of them doing that is so low, all at the same time, that I think you're going to see some guys bottom out this year.
Yeah, on Piscotty. I mean, I hadn't watched a lot of the Cardinals last year, but it seemed whenever I turned it on and Piscotty was playing, he was absolutely raking. I mean, he has that gorgeous right-handed swing that seems to produce line drives so easily. So I think he's definitely, like you mentioned, probably the more exciting of the two to watch. But in Grichuk's favour is the fact that he's probably the best-looking guy on this Cardinals team. I think he's underrated in terms of looks as far as outfielders go. So I'll give Grichuk a shout-out for that, at least.
Yeah, he's a pretty handsome man.
Yeah, he's got that boyish charm, hasn't he? Anyway, that's enough from me before I require a cold shower. On to the pitchers. And last year we saw the return of Adam Wainwright. I think it was at the end of the year before. Anyway, last year was his first, I think, full season back. And he wasn't really back to his mercurial best. Do you think we've seen the end of ace Adam Wainwright, or do you think it was a matter of refinding his groove and he'll come back and be a bit better this year?
All of my fingers and toes are crossed for it to have not been the end of Wainwright. This is a guy who spent most of 2015 injured. He also picked up an injury the year before, running down the first baseline in Milwaukee, which just killed me. It was not the type of Wainwright year we expect by any stretch. I think he led the league in hits. Led the National League in hits allowed and earned runs, which is horrendous. Obviously not a rate statistic, but just overall. And to be honest, that is a worry. But I have belief, I have faith. I think that with Wainwright, we're going to see a guy sort of verging on coming back to where we expect him to be. I don't think he's ever going to get back to that best where he was second. He was second and then third in Cy Young voting. I don't think we're going to get that. But I think we're going to get a guy that we can rely upon.
Yeah, I mean, he was so good back a few years ago. I remember when he and Chris Carpenter led your rotation, and I absolutely hated Carpenter with a passion, but I did begrudgingly quite like Wainwright. So it would be good, even as a fan of an opposing team, to see him back towards his best this year, because he's a really exciting player to watch. So I'm with you on that one. Elsewhere in that rotation, we've got Lance Lynn, who missed, I think, all of last year, or at least most of it, with Tommy John surgery, I think. But he's back this spring, and spring doesn't mean a lot, but it looks like he's doing all right. And I guess the main thing for him is to just hold up. Are you expecting him to contribute much this year?
Yeah, with Lynn, it's the reliability that we're looking for. This is a guy who was so underrated before he did undergo TJ last offseason. And, well, yeah, what we need from him is to be the guy who's given us 25 to 30 starts a season again. And so what if he doesn't get national headlines? Just that consistency is what I can't wait to see again, or at least I'm praying for again, because that's what he gave us. A good ERA as well, and the guy is really very good.
Yeah, I just brought up his Fangraphs page because I thought I'd look at the stats. I mean, he was so good before he got injured. I mean, like you mentioned, underrated. Well, I can vouch for that. I'd always thought of him as a solid innings eater, but I mean, he was really, you know, a number two, a number three starter. He was a great pitcher, so it'd be good to have him back. And probably younger than most people imagine at 29 still. So hopefully there's life left in him. That'd be very useful. A couple of exciting young arms in this rotation too, of course, in Carlos Martinez and Michael Wacker, who've, again, both shown sort of ace upside at times. Do you think those guys are going to start to put it all together this year?
With Martinez, I think you're going to see a guy who goes from being the younger type of pitcher that people think is going to turn into a sort of a superstar or an ace, and he's just going to be the ace. I think he's he is primed to have what some may consider a breakout season. I think last season was probably his breakout season. This will be his ascension into the sort of the upper echelons of major league pitching. He's, for me, I don't want to necessarily give away my total opinion of the team, comes at the end, but he may be the lone bright spot on this team this year, or at least the lone real true star. With Michael Wacker, I think you're going to see a guy who isn't going to be playing for St. Louis much longer and is a bit rubbish, unfortunately. I don't think he'll ever recover from one of the worst managerial decisions I've ever seen in baseball, when Mike Matheny brought him in the ninth inning with one out, and I think there was two on against Travis Ishikawa in Game 5 of the NLDS in 2000 and whenever it was, 15. And, of course, he gave up a home run to Ishikawa, and I really don't think he's ever recovered confidence-wise from that. He's never looked like the same pitcher that nearly pitched a no-hitter against Washington and pitched sort of some great shutout innings in the playoff run of 2013, I think it was, when St. Louis went to the World Series and were beaten by the Red Sox. This is a guy who just probably doesn't have it anymore, and I really can't see him lasting as a Cardinal for too much longer.
Yeah, I remember the moment you're talking about against the Giants, as I'm sure many people do, because he hadn't been used at all in that postseason series, had he? Kind of weirdly not been used at all, even though he was one of your better pitchers that whole season. And as you said, brought in cold.
That was his return from injury. That was the first pitch he threw on after having been injured. He hadn't thrown any pitches in a game until that moment. And he came in the ninth inning with men on.
Yeah, an extraordinary
pitching situation. I mean, it's not Wacker's fault. I mean, yeah, he gave up the home run, but that will happen. He's a pitcher.
No, yeah, of course.
It was the moment that I decided I hated Mike Matheny.
That did it for you. Well, I'm sure Wacker might agree with you secretly there. And like you say, he's sort of got steadily worse rather than better since that fantastic debut back in 2013. Anyway, moving on from him and on to the bullpen, which was a bit of an area of concern, probably a frustrating area for you last season. Trevor Rosenthal, who obviously I at least considered one of the premier closers in the majors, really struggled, and he was demoted, wasn't he, towards the end of the year. Is that a case of him having a problem with the yips, a bit of a mechanical issue, or is he kind of done now? What's the deal with that?
I think they're going to try and turn him into a starter. That at least there's certain vibes really? About that. And this is a guy who, for a couple of years, was going to be the ace closer, and then work his way into the starting position. And then, of course, last year, for the first time, we actually had a reliable option other than Rosenthal as the closer. Well, not actually for the first time, but I mean, Rosenthal had been the closer for a couple of years, and then last year when we got the final boss, the Stone Buddha, Sung Hwan Oh, out of Korea, of course, who is a guy, as you may be able to tell, that I love. they finally, when Rosenthal did have a bad run, they actually had the confidence to sort of knock him down a couple of pegs, and he had a terrible year. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them try and stretch him out and make him a starter.
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember, obviously, when he came up as a prospect, he was a starter, and then through sort of need and necessity, he went into the bullpen and did so well, he never really came out again. But it'd be interesting to see if he can get it back as a starter. That's definitely one to watch, I suppose, in spring training as much as anything is. Yeah, you mentioned how much you like Oh. He was fantastic last year, wasn't he? I remember watching him devastatingly good. So do you expect him to close this year?
Oh, definitely. I think he could be on sort of, when I was looking at this and thinking of any sort of bold predictions I may be able to make, there's the one that I think it is bold, but also I don't think it's grossly unlikely, is Sung-Hwan Oh could lead the National League in saves, which is a stat that doesn't matter too much, but it's something. To be able to do that is something. And yeah, I like him so much. He's reliable. He's good. He's just good. It's nice having someone that I know is going to be good coming into the game after having sort of suffered through Rosenthal for a couple of years. So yeah, I really think he's nailed down the closer job already. But I really think he's going to shine in all of the National League this season.
Yeah, it should be a fun one to watch. That would be good. Right, we're stretching on a bit here, so I'll get towards our quicker questions towards the end. But first of all, you kind of alluded to your thoughts on the upcoming season earlier. But what are you expecting? What's your kind of win loss prediction? What's your best case and worst case scenarios? What are you hoping for in 2017?
I'm worried. I really am. This is a team that wasn't fantastic last year. Really seemed to struggle down the stretch when it was time to come to the fore and charge for a wild card spot. They really struggled. The whole locker room chemistry seemed to fall away at times, and I think that's a product of the management. As soon as the Cubs won the World Series, the whole essay in the Baseball Prospectus Annual this year of the Cardinals is written by Will Leach, the founder of Deadspin and a big Cardinals fan. His whole essay is about Matheny and how much Matheny is hurting the Cardinals. And I would suggest everyone reads it if they have the annual. It's worth it, whether you're a Cardinals fan or not. And the Cardinals, in that, it does mention that the Cardinals extended Matheny within hours of the Cubs having won the World Series, which is just such a great, great move, if you ask nobody. Well, part of that was Mrazek said, the GM, John Mrazek, said that he just has the locker room behind him. But I contest that. I think at the end of the season, there's no way that was true. And I'm a bit worried. They've got rid of Brandon Moss, who actually, I mean, I'm not saying they got rid of, he was a free agent and they didn't want to resign him. But he provided something last season, and Matt Holliday was a franchise player. He was a guy that will be remembered as a Cardinal forever. And I'm just a little bit worried that this team is inexperienced in important places, and where there is experience, it's a bit too much experience. I mean, Yadi Molina is a great player and one of my all-time favourite players, perhaps number one, but he's not going to be getting better. He can only get worse from now. And we have good research to suggest that he will get bad quite quickly, because that's what players who catch that many games do. And Wainwright, we touched on, and Lynn, who was this bastion of reliability, is coming back. So I'm very worried. In terms of wins, I think they may go under 500, which is insane for Cardinals fans to even consider. This is a team that just gets to the playoffs every year. And to go under 500 would be insanely disappointing. I think it would be the end of Matheny in St. Louis, despite that extension. I think they may win 79 games. Obviously, as an odds compiler, I look at it. The season wins projection, in terms of the betting, is between 79 and 81. I think Pecota has them at 79 wins as well. And I'm on board with that. The Fangraphs have them higher. They have them about 83, I think. But yeah, I'm on board with under 500. It's going to be a bad year, I think, for the Cardinals.
Right, yeah, I think I would agree with you. I mean, pretty bleak listening for Cardinals fans, but like you say, there's some issues in that team. I think maybe this is a team that has a really wide range of probabilities even, which isn't something we're used to with the Cardinals. Because like you say, they seem to be a team that every year somehow gets it done, gets to the postseason, whether it's through some outfielder no one's ever heard of, he turns up and hits 30 home runs or a breakout young player. But this year, this could be the year that it all falls apart a little bit. Like you say, I think their floor is not too low. I think sub 500 and thereabouts is probably the worst case scenario, assuming health is reasonable. But yeah, this might be a year when it's all a bit too easy for the Cubs in that division. So we'll hope that you guys give them some competition. But yeah, not particularly optimistic outlook from you then. On to a player, an outside player. Who maybe hasn't been recognised for his talents on this roster or anyone else off the roster if you want to go that way.
I mean, we touched on Lance Lynn, who is a guy who I Cardinals fans know him and love him, or not necessarily love him. It's hard to love someone who is consistently above average but not great. But that I feel that way. I think he's so good. In terms of, but we've obviously already talked about him. In terms of hitting, I look round and everyone knows about our stars in terms of Carpenter, who is so fantastic. He is a, or he was a on-base machine, and obviously not a great season last year. But he's a guy who really has the capability to be one of the best players in baseball, and that sounds insane. But to most people, because the Cardinals are a team that win a lot of games, but not actually a load of people watch. And Carpenter is just so good. And whilst he definitely gets some recognition, I would be interested to see if he could bounce back and have a really good year, to see how much recognition he may get this year.
Yeah, I like that call. I think it took everyone a while to get used to Carpenter as a great player, didn't it? We always sort of wrote him off as a fluke, and then did it again, and then he added power, and he just sort of got better and better. And I think he's a player who, even now, when he's sort of the correction's been made and people do realize he's good, he's still a little bit underrated for what he does. He's a machine at the top of that lineup, so I do like that, and I do hope he. Yeah, I mean, it's weird to say have a bounce back season after you put up 3 wins, but it does feel like a bit like that, doesn't it? So he's definitely one to watch if you weren't already. Let's get on to a few of the sillier questions now. I'm hoping you've got some ideas for these. On a night out for the team, who would be getting the kebab in once the drinking's done?
I think if you'd asked me until about up to the last 2 months, I'd say Matt Adams without doubt. but allegedly he's shown up to camp. Well, not allegedly. You see him. He has lost weight. He has toned down. He's eating healthily. He's... the whole team seems to be obsessed with Pilates, and Matt Adams is really a leader on that front. So I think I try and keep Adams away from the kebabs, which in that case definitely means that I'm going for a kebab with Yaddy.
Yaddy, okay. Yeah, does that mean we can safely ring the best shape of his life gong for Matt Adams then? I'm sure there are a few
absolutely
others.
There's no fat Matt Adams in spring training photo. But I mean, there will be come July, but yeah, not in spring training.
Some eating to be done during the season, no doubt. But yeah, no more fatty Matthew. Interesting. Yeah, I think Molina's a good call. I've always figured Johnny Peralta loves a kebab, so I reckon he'd be up there in that queue too. Probably a few candidates on this team, actually. Not to call the Cardinals fat, but yeah, definitely some kebab lovers out there. Next question. Who would claim not to have any cash on the taxi ride home?
I mean, it's tough. We mentioned Aledmys Diaz, one of the leading lights of the team, but he's a young lad that came over from Cuba. He's not going to be on a massive contract. I don't have his exact contract details to hand, but I'm gonna say that when it comes down to it, it's I'm paying for the Uber with Aledmys.
Aledmys, okay, interesting. Yeah, maybe an under the radar penny pincher. You'd hope a few of the guys on bigger contracts would be happy to splash out. Maybe Dexter Fowler, a bit of new player hazing, will have to pay for the entire taxi journey.
Well, there was on that note, there was a great story. Adam Wainwright hired a car for one of the non-roster invitees to spring training, a guy who came out for the minors and was earning, I can only assume it was about $6 an hour being a minor league baseball player. So he saw him walking back and forth to the bus station and to the place he was staying, Wainwright hired him a car and paid for the whole thing.
That's a classy move, good man.
Yeah.
So he definitely wouldn't skimp out of the taxi journey then, assuming he hasn't spent all his money on cards for everyone else. No. Who wouldn't even be on this night out? Who would be sat at home watching Great British Bake Off with the missus or on their own?
It would definitely be Wainwright. He and his wife have this big community spirit. They'd be watching the Bake Off and then trying maybe to replicate it themselves and bring in the sweet treats for the team, I think.
Yeah, I like that call. Wainwright is getting on a bit now. I can see him in a couple of years just taking to the mound in his slippers and dressing gown at some point. He seems even older than he is, so I like that. He's definitely a Mary Berry fan. Who on this team is most likely to drive barefoot to Dundee in true Alan Partridge style?
In true Partridgean style, it's a tough one from St. Louis, that drive. I think you'd have to go up over Alaska into Russia. it's a long old drive. So it's a weird one. I think I'm just going to choose the guy who I'd like to spend that much time with. And it would obviously, after our discussion earlier, be Randall Grichuk.
Randall Grichuk. Okay, yeah, I like that. I can see him saying off, growing that hair out again on a long journey. Like you mentioned, it's not short. Right, is it might have to be you and him sharing the wheel on that one, but it's certainly been an interesting drive with Randall. Definitely some tweets to be done on that one. Speaking of tweets, can you recommend, that was a very smooth segue, can you recommend a Twitter account or a blog or beat writer that you enjoy following with your team? I think you mentioned Will Leach earlier. I'm assuming he's one, is he?
Yeah, Will Leach. I don't have his handle to hand. I think it's William F. Leach, perhaps. But he, like I say, he co-founded Deadspin. And yeah, big Cardinals fans. He's always tweeting about the Cardinals. So he's a great one to follow. He does a lot of great baseball writing whilst being a bit stuck up, but hey, he's a Cardinals fan. In terms of Cardinals blogs and accounts dedicated to the team, there's a great account at BirdsOnTheBat13, which is a great, great account. It covers Cardinals games and news throughout the season. A really good account. Great photos come from there as well. And in terms of the beat writer, one of the best beat writers in the game, Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, is a must-follow for all baseball fans, Cardinals fans or not. He is fantastic. He writes in a way I could only dream of writing. He's so good. His Cardinals stuff is fantastic. His baseball stuff is fantastic. And he is really worth a follow. He hosts the aforementioned podcast, the best podcast in baseball, which is worth a listen. He hosts that with fellow Post-Dispatch columnist Benjamin Hockman, who is a little annoying, but you get over that quickly.
Okay, I like that, yeah. I don't think I follow him. What did you say his name was, sorry?
Derek Gould.
Derek Gould, excellent. Okay, no, I'll have to give him a follow. So Derek Gould, good good recommendation. And yeah, before we sign off, I thought I'd ask you to talk a little bit about, well, where people can find you, but also you mentioned earlier UKMLB. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you guys do? Because I know from when I first started writing my blog and following the sport, you guys were out there on Twitter, and like you mentioned, you used to update the website a lot. So do you want to just let the people know about that a little bit?
Yeah, I unfortunately not so connected with it anymore. Just I had to move out of the country, so could no longer really claim to be a UK MLB fan. But it's now run by Liam Milner, and he and I sort of founded it together about 5 or 6 years ago. At first, it was the idea was we try and blog throughout the season and tweet for, each day. I think for a while I was getting up at silly hours to tweet one tweet recaps of each game, the score, and then like a one sentence recap, which was a lovely idea and worked really well on the days where I had to be up at 7 a.m. But on days where I had to be up at 1 p.m. didn't really fancy it, so it didn't work so well. Now Liam runs a Twitter account, which is where all the action is. And he's actually, what he does really well is collate a lot of really good stuff, and by retweets, you see stuff to read and follow from Liam at UKMLB that you wouldn't necessarily otherwise see. So his retweeting game is strong, and it's an irreverent look at the game, really.
Yeah, no, I can vouch for that. I'm sure many others listening are aware of the Twitter account, but no, they do good work. So, excellent stuff. And where can people find you on Twitter, Richard?
You can find me at rchurchill26. I must warn you that a lot of my tweets are betting and baseball related. So obviously, the baseball thing's fine, but I do talk about betting quite a lot. Also, a big NFL fan. I am partial to a swear. So, yeah. Worth noting.
Okay. Terrific. Well, you've been duly warned, people. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on this episode about Flips and Nerds. Thanks, Richard, for joining me. It's been a lot of fun. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, as I mentioned earlier, at @batflips_nerds. We're on Facebook. You can email us, batflipsnerds@gmail.com. We have a new shiny website, which has been up for a couple of weeks now, which you should check out if you haven't yet. And please do rate, subscribe on iTunes and all the usual places. So thanks for tuning in, and goodbye.